What is important in our life? Yeah? Important is, yeah, we are born as a human being, and the Lord Buddha said, you know, it is very difficult to be born as a human being. Most of us are in the other realms of existence. Actually, most of us are in the hell realm. So, to be born as a human being, it is very difficult. So, when we are born as a human being, we should take the opportunity as human beings, you know, to practice the Dhamma. That is the most important thing. If we are lay people, of course, we should look after our body, but use the least amount of time look after. So we should look after the body. It is important to look after the body because it is our vehicle. Yeah, it's just like we have to look after our car. Yeah, if we want to drive from A to B, we have to look after the car when we want to use it. And if we have a body, we have to look after it. We have to give it some food. We have to give it water. We have to give it rest. We have to keep it warm. And we have to have some place where we can stay. And in case of sickness, we have to have some medicine. So these are the things that we have to look after the body. But most of the time, yeah, I mean, when you look at the life of a monk, how much time do we need, you know, for looking after the body? I mean, we go on Pindapat for 1 hour, you know, we eat, you know, half an hour and look after our things, you know. So it is all already 1 hour. So that's 2 hours. Then sweeping, you know, keeping the monastery clean is 1 hour. So that's 3 hours, and then taking a shower, half an hour, and keeping our things clean. Yeah, so 4 hours, and then we still have 20 hours to practice. Yeah? When we think about 4 hours of sleep, yeah, then we have still 16 hours to practice. So, and ask yourself, how many of these 16 hours do you practice? How many of the 16 hours do you talk or do something that is completely opposite of what we are trying to do? Is to look after our citta, to make our citta clean. And what did the Lord Buddha say about making the citta clean? Is closing the sense doors. He said, do you understand what the sense doors is? It's the sense doors of seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and thinking. These sense doors we should close so that nothing comes in. And then we can look at what is in the heart or what is in the citta and take care of it, you know, and throw everything out that is in there to make it completely empty. That is our task as a as a monk or as a novice, as an ordained person. And as a lay person, of course, you know, we can do as much as we have time to. But people, you know, I mean, people are born, you know, and when they are born, you know, the first 15 years or 16 years, they spent, you know, educating this body, training this body. Remember this, yeah? I mean, it is one way of investigation of the body. We trained this body for 16 years before we could really use it, yeah? You remember it? The first time when you came out of the womb, I mean, what did you do? I mean, you started to move your hands and your feet, yeah? And then you learned to walk. And then you learned to talk, yeah? And then you went to school. For how many years? At least 9 years or 10 years. Some of us have, you know, spent 15 or 16 years in school. Yeah? We learn to think. Because even when we can talk, we can't think. We can't think in the way, you know, that is proper, yeah? That the world understands. So training this body takes about 16 years before we can really use it. Yeah, and then what do we use? Yeah, I mean, we go to work, yeah, because we have to make a living, yeah, so we have to work for this body. And most of our time is, yeah, just to work for our body, yeah. In the morning we get up, we eat a little bit, and then we go to work for 8 hours, yeah. And then when we come home, we eat a little bit, you know, and then we are tired, yeah? We don't want to do anything. Except, you know, I mean, reading some books or watching TV. That's all. Or having a conversation or having some meeting with some friends, yeah? How many hours, yeah? 2 hours, 3 hours, we work, yeah? We work for 8 hours. And most of the time, you know, I mean, even, you know, when we work when we are single, I mean, we have to go shopping, you know, to be able to prepare the food, you know, that we take in. So most of the time we spend for actually, you know, looking after this body. And then after 60 years, you know, after 60 years, this body, you know, starts to decay until it, you know, completely gives up. Yeah? There's no more breath in it, and we call that death. Yeah? And what have we done with our life? We looked after the body, yeah? But we never looked after the owner of the body. The owner of the body that drives the body. And this is something that we really need to understand. Yeah? Think about this simile. Yeah? You are born in the car, you die in the car, and you have never gotten out of the car. The only thing you do, you're in the beginning, you learn how to drive the car, you know, then you drive it until it's completely gone. Yeah? And then you look for the next car. Yeah? But in the time, you know, you never got out of the car. How can you not believe that you are the car? And that is a good simile. We are born in this body, we never got out of the body. Yeah, we never could actually, in the chitta, never could go out, you know, and look, oh, that's interesting, that looks like me, you know, this is a body. Yeah, when we can get out of the body, then we understand that there is actually the owner of the body. Because once we go out of the body doesn't move anymore. It's completely still. I mean, it is like a stump of tree, a tree stump, yeah? And then we go back in, and then the body starts to move again. Yeah? So this is something that we really have to understand. And this is something that we really have to investigate over and over again. Also about our life, yeah? Also about the situations in our life. How much happiness did we get? How much unhappiness did we receive? How tiresome was this life, yeah? And then, because if you don't find out out of the cycle of samsara, I mean, then we are born again, and then born again, and born again, and there's no end to it, yeah? Unless we decide, you know, to make an end to it. And that's where the Lord Buddha comes in, because he teaches us the way to the end of dukkha, or the way to the deathless, yeah? Where nobody dies anymore and nobody is born anymore. This is very important for us to understand. As long as we don't do anything, as long as we don't open the door of the hamster wheel where we're running and running and running, yeah? We don't get out. We don't get out of samsara. Not without extreme effort, yeah? With extreme effort we can get out of samsara, yeah? And this, the Lord Buddha, you know, declared us the way, you know, or showed us the way, you know, the path to the end of dukkha or to the deathless. And that is sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila are the 5 precepts. If we don't keep the 5 precepts, we never get out. We always stick, yeah? And most of us, you know, I mean, if we don't keep the 5 precepts, we go to the lower realms. What are the lower realms? It's the animal realms, the ghost realms, the demon realms, and the hell realms, yeah? And when we come up, you know, we go back to the human realm in order to do enough, you know, bad karmas that sends us back to these lower realms. And 70% of the population have no charm. The Lord Buddha said 70%, they are just, you know, padaparama, yeah, the useless ones, yeah. They come up, you know, once in a while to the human state and make enough bad karma to go back to the lower realms, yeah, and then they spend enough time in the lower realm until they come back, you know, back to the human realm, not being interested in anything, not being interested in the religion. He said 70%, 30% are the ones, you know, he called nayas, yeah, they swing forth and back. Today I practice, tomorrow I don't practice. Today I keep the 5 precepts, tomorrow I don't keep the 5 precepts. These are the ones who are nayas, swing forth and back, yeah, because of course it is not easy. Yeah, this life of a monk, you know, in the beginning it is not easy because you are refrained so much, yeah. but anyway, yeah. So these 30% are the ones who are interested in asking the question, what is the purpose of my life? Why am I born? Or why am I born in the state that I am born, or in the family that I am born? Or what is the purpose of my life? What can I achieve? Not achieve anything in the way of the world, but achieve something, you know, for the owner of the body. Yeah? Achieve something that is good. Yeah? Achieve something that is valuable. Most of us, you know, I mean, think about the life, or the people in the world think about the life. They want to have a house, they want to have a car, they want to have a phone, they want to have this and that, you know, they want to go on vacation and so on and so on. These are not valuable things. These don't last as we have known. Just like, you know, the moment when we earn money, it doesn't last, you know. I mean, we spend it out, yeah. And then it's gone, and then we have to earn enough. Then we have to earn again and again and again, and then it's spent again and again and again. It doesn't last. Huh? So these things, you know, we should think, we should look for things that last. Yeah? And these things that last can only be done within the owner of the body, yeah? The citta. Yeah? And the citta is the owner of the body. And we don't know it because we have never looked at it. You know, the only thing that we know about the body is, there's a heart and there's a mind. Yeah, actually, you know, what we call heart, or the emotional part of us, yeah, is a part of the citta. And the mind, is the rational part, is also a part of the citta. when you think about it, you know, when you think about it in computer terms, you know, think about, you know, I mean, there was a computer, and when you were born, you start to program this computer, yeah? The abilities that you can get with the computer are something, but you are the ones, you know, the citta has all the knowledge about how to program this body, and how to make more of it or less of it, yeah? So that is why this is important, you know, I mean, to look after the owner of the body, to look after the citta. And we do that, you know, by first, you know, keeping from today on, what have you done in the past? Forget about it, yeah? From today on, we keep the five precepts. That is one thing, yeah? We don't go against the five precepts. The five precepts are very short, yeah? Not harming any living being, huh? Not taking what is not given, huh? No sexual misconduct, that means, you know, of being faithful in one's marriage or in one's relationship, not having sex with people that are dependent on us, yeah? Like father and daughter, or mother and son, or teacher and student. These are all misconducts, yeah? And the world, when you look at the world, it is full. It is number one, yeah? And this kind of, this breaking, this precept leads us to hell 100%, yeah? There's no question about it. Sexual misconduct leads us to hell. And then not talking lies, yeah? Speaking the truth, not talking lies, not talking, talking harsh, you know, so that we hurt other people. That is the fourth precept. And the fifth precept, not taking alcohol and any intoxicants that make us unmindful. Just like, you know, cocaine and whatever it is. Yeah? These are the five precepts. And we keep them from now on, you know, what we've done in the past, you know, we will get it back. That is a nice thing. Whatever we have sown, we will reap. Yeah? As born in a Christian country, we should know that. What you sow is that what you reap. Yeah? Or we have the saying, you know, in most of the Western language, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. But do we follow that? Yeah? And we don't know the second part of the sentence. Yeah? They leave it out, you know, out of convenience. For whatever happens to you right now, listen very carefully, for whatever happens to you right now is what you have done unto others in the past. It's a logical conclusion. But nobody, yeah? We understand the first thing and say, it's okay, I don't want to do it. Yeah, sometimes I do it, you know, but yeah. No, whatever happens to us, yeah, that is the law of karma. Yeah? It cannot be otherwise. Yeah? If you throw something up in the air, it will come down. 100%. Yeah? And if you're in the way and it hits your heart, yeah, if you see it coming, then you can avoid it a little bit. Yeah? And that is the same with karma. Yeah? Whatever I have done, be it in action, be it in words, be it in thoughts, will come back to me. And there is now, you can't avoid it. It comes back, it's just like a boomerang. Yeah? I mean, you throw a boomerang and it comes exactly back to the owner. Yeah? And there's no chance. If you throw it, you know, to kill somebody else, it comes back and kills you. Yeah? If you lie to other people, they will start to lie to you. Yeah, and so on, and so on, and so on. So, these five precepts are very important. That is the first part, you know, that is the first part that leads to the deathless. The second part is the important part. Once we decided to keep the precepts there, then we're going to start to train ourselves in samadhi, in the ability to calm the mind completely down. And how do we do it? You know, we do it with anapanasati, observing the breath around the tip of the nose, knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out, knowing that the breath is slow, knowing that the breath is fast, knowing that the breath is deep, or knowing that the breath is shallow, or is it, yeah, whatever, yeah? Knowing. Understand that. It's not only observing the breath, but also knowing the quality of the breath. We can do, yeah, if it is too difficult for us to observe the breath, then we can use the word Buddha, the mental repetition of the word Buddha. So, I mean Buddha, yeah, I mean we can do it fast, Buddha, 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 and whenever there is thought or memory coming in, we replace it with Buddha, 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 Buddha. Yeah? And then we know the same thing about the Buddha. Is the Buddha fast? Is the Buddha slow? Is the Buddha deep? Or is the Buddha shallow? Until the mind comes down and there's no more thoughts coming in. Yeah? We replaced every thought with the Buddha, so we stick to the Buddha and automatically into slow slowly, you know, it develops that we are just with the Buddha. Yeah? And when we are more and more with the Buddha, we can observe the quality of the Buddha even deeper. Yeah? We know even more about the quality of the Buddha, or know more about the quality of the breath. And when there is no more thoughts and memories coming in, then we are in a state that is called Upachara Samadhi or Access Samadhi. Yeah? I mean, there we realize for the first time, you know, that we are happy, we are contented, we don't need anything. Even if it is hot outside, even if it is rainy outside, even if it is cold outside, even if there is music playing, you know, we don't need anything. We are happy as we are. Yeah? Because there is no future, there is no past, because no memory and no thoughts. Yeah? There is no future, there is no past. Yeah? There is just this one present moment. And in this one present moment, there is no fear, there is no anger, there is no greed, there is no loneliness. I mean, all what we are looking for in our life, that's where we can find it, and with the easiest of methods. We just need to sit down, you know, sit cross-legged, you know, sit comfortably, and then close our eyes and observe the breath, or start to repeat, mentally repeat, putu, putu, putu. Or if we do the chongkram, or walking meditation, then we go up and down, and always stay with the putu. Yeah? Walking meditation, then we put our eyes, you know, about 1 meter ahead, you know, we don't look left, we don't look right, and when we come to the end point of the walking path, you know, we turn around, and then we check, you know, how long have I been with the Buddha, or with the breath, yeah, okay, this one path I will be with the Buddha, and then when we turn around, we check it again. That is much easier to get concentrated in this way than when we're sitting, yeah. Because when we're walking, you know, the citta that we need to calm down, that produces all these thoughts and all these memories, yeah, is busy with walking. And that's what we can use. So we don't walk very slowly, because then the citta is not really busy. Yeah? So we walk faster, you know, and the citta is really busy, and the rest of the citta, yeah, 30% or 40% of the citta can be trained more easy, yeah, than when we sit down, you know, when there's nothing moving, yeah? So when the citta is completely, has to be completely satisfied or completely calmed down, yeah? So understand that, you know, and when we are in samadhi and when we come out of samadhi, then our desire naturally come back, yeah? We want this, we are not happy about this, we want that, you know, we are not happy about that, yeah, and so on, yeah? And then we go back into samadhi and see, we don't need anything. Then we go out and we need so many things. Then we go back in, you know, and we see we don't need anything. Actually, you know, there's a deeper way, you know, of samadhi, and that is called apana samadhi or deep samadhi or one-pointedness. That means, you know, when we concentrate further on, when we're in samadhi and further on the Buddha or further on the breath, until the breath stops and it really stops, yeah, then we go to the one who knows that the breath stops, and it's the same with the Buddha, yeah. When we notice, you know, I mean, the mind really focuses in. We can't really think anything anymore except for the Buddha, yeah. And then we know, you know, I mean, even one Buddha is too much, yeah. And then we retract or we fall or we jump to the one who knows that. And once we jump into that, then object and subject becomes one. And what can we talk about? What can we tell about one-pointedness? Nothing. Not because our whole universe is based on duality. Our language is based on duality. All our senses are based on duality. Everything, yeah? But we can enter a state where there is no duality, yeah? And that is the preview of Nibbana, yeah? Or the preview of deathless, yeah? And that gives us a clue about what the Lord Buddha is talking about, the deathless. And I guarantee you one thing, you know, I mean, if you go into apana samadhi and you come out, the first thought is, you know, I mean, I want to go back. I don't want to be in this world, you know, because, I mean, if you've been long enough in apana samadhi, maybe for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, and you come back, you know, I mean, all these senses bombard you constantly. I mean, you don't even notice it, you know, when you live in the world, how many senses you have. You have so many senses in that constantly bombard you. Senses of thinking, senses of smelling, senses of feeling, senses of touching, and also all these senses, you come out of it and constantly bombard you. Yeah? And it's a nuisance. Yeah? Then you go back, you know, so happy. Yeah? And then you come out again. And that's where the third part, you know, of the path that leads to the deathless comes in. Yeah, and that is investigation to the things that we are attached. To our, what we call our personality or our character or our, you know, whatever you call it, or our ego. Yeah? And our ego consists of five parts. And these five parts, is the first part is the body, then the second part, you know, the Lord Buddha called it heaps, yeah? I mean, the heap of the body, the heap of the feeling, the heap of, you know, memory association, the heap of thoughts, short form of thought, and the heap of consciousness, or the khandhas, you know, I mean, whatever is familiar to you. The five khandhas, we attach to it, we associate it, we call them me, mine, and I, yeah? I call this body, it's my body, yeah? I call my feeling, it is my feeling, I feel like that. I am sad, I am happy, I am discontent, yeah? We always say this, I, yeah? And what is this I? This I is an illusion. The first time when we actually see that it doesn't exist, this I, is when we lose our thoughts. Yeah? When we go into upachara samadhi, when there is no more thoughts and there is no more I. There's nobody who takes hold of the experiences, there's just pure experience. Nobody says, oh, this is a nice experience. Yeah? Nobody. There's nobody there. The nobody or the body, the ego comes back when we start thinking again. Oh, I just went into samadhi. Yeah? Then the I comes back. Yeah. Oh, my body is, you know, heavy. Oh, my body is light. Oh, my body was like this. Oh, like that. Yeah. Oh, my feeling was great. Yeah. I want to go back. Yeah. That's where the I comes in. Yeah. While we are in upachara samadhi, there is no I. There is no ego. No? And in order, you know, to get rid of this attachment to the five khandhas, I mean, we have to do some investigation. And we start the investigation with the body investigation. Yeah? Just like I said, you know, thinking about why we are born, you know, what is the purpose, thinking about the first 15 years of training this body, then looking at the next 30 years where we had, you know, enough power, you know, to use the body for our entertainment or most probably for working for this body. And then we look at the rest of our life where the body slowly decays and decays until it dies. Yeah? That is the foremost investigation. Body investigation, it is really important. Start with this one. And then think about, the second part of it. Think about whatever goes into the body, it's nice, It's delicious, It's clean. Whatever comes out of the body, it is unclean. So this body is nothing else than a factory that turns everything that is nice into something that is disgusting. Or do we like to, keep the shit, and put it on our on our shelf, and look at it, like we do with our body, we take pictures of our body and put it on our shelf, into frames, look nice, very nice, But the things that come out of the body, we don't put on our shelf, and look at it, Why? We only like the things that go onto the body or in the body. We don't like the things that come off the body. Even our shirts, after wearing for 2 days, we can't smell them anymore. They're disgusting, Where does this disgust come from? From the body, The exhaust of the body, All the perfumes of the body, we don't like to smell. And the sweat and, and the poos and the blood that comes out of the body, we don't like to see it, We only want to see the things that go onto the body and how the body looks, and we have to wash the body every day, Otherwise it gets dirty. We have to wash our hairs. Otherwise, it gets sticky, and so on, and so on, and so on. So where is this dirt coming from? Not from outside. We can hang our shirt, outside, and it won't smell ever. But the moment we put it on our body, after 1 day it smells, So it must come from this body, And the same thing, So look at this body, because the root of greed and hate are rooted within this body. So destroy the delusion, destroy the attachment of the body, and you will be free of the delusion. You will be free of greed and hate. Okay, that's enough.